when my wife and I were first dating, I was like, you've never seen the Blues Brothers? Oh my God. You're gonna die laughing.
And strap in, darling.
Yeah, so we get Blues Brothers, and we're about, I would say, 40 minutes into the movie, and she turns to me and she's like, are they going to play the whole fucking song every time? And I was like, yes. Yes, they are. You are going to see Cab Calloway sing a whole song later. I hope you find that funny, because there's not a lot of jokes in the Blues Brothers. Welcome to Tune Change,
a show where two music jerks
try to give albums a chance.
Welcome back to Tune Change. It's the show where what we have in our hearts, we take to our graves. I'm your host, Matt, alongside Brett. We take a look with fresh eyes at the records that we would have skipped in our indie snob youths. This week, we're going back to the metal canon, or at least the metal genre, with Hatebreed's debut 1997 effort, Satisfaction is the Death of Desire.
Yeah, welcome back to another episode of, I'm sure it was groundbreaking at the time.
Had you heard Hatebreed before? I mean, I figure, like me, you had at least heard of Hatebreed. For me, this was a band, and I have talked about this catalog on mic before, and I only just now realized what it was. The Rockabilia catalog, which I used to pick up at Stick It In Your Ear and leaf through to see what all the new band t-shirts were. This is very much a Rockabilia catalog.
Oh, I know what you're talking about now.
Yes.
Yeah. I do like that you said the name of a local head shop, as though everybody would know what Stick It In Your Ear is.
It's for the locals.
Yeah, sure. But
well, and I mean, I would say that they're more a record store than a head shop. I mean, they are.
Oh, come now. In terms of profit margin, come on.
Well, profit margin, yeah, that's probably
it. So, you know, the reason they're a business, like, if the porno shop also sells gum, it's not like, well, mostly we sell gum. It's like, it doesn't really matter how much gum you have at some point. If you sell bongs, you're a head shop.
That seems fair.
Yeah. So, to answer your question, I was never aware of this specific album, but I was aware of Hatebreed the entity, since like the late 90s, early 2000s. Their logo is just everywhere.
I wanted to spend some time on the logo, because again, they know what they're about. Guy Fieri couldn't have designed a better metalcore band logo. It's just their name in flames.
Yeah, they look like the Miami Heat. Like, it's a little cartoony. It's not like kind of, it's kind of rounded. It's like a, you know, it's kind of bubble font, Welcome Back Cotter, but with flames.
Yeah.
How can you save me when you can't save yourself?
What, if you just had to imagine a Hatebreed song, how close was it to what you actually wound up experiencing on this thing?
Pretty close. I mean, if you would have asked me to, you know, to say, what is a Hatebreed song? I don't know that I would have said exactly this, sight unseen, but this was one of the like two or three configurations that you would imagine.
Yeah, let's do the like word cloud reverse engineered. Like Hatebreed, I would have, what words would have been, okay, chunky?
Yes.
Breakdowns.
Growly,
yeah. And I think what, you know, if we had really had our thinking caps on, the other thing we would have thought of is, hey, I bet their snare sounds like shit. Because, ooh.
It's definitely noticeable. And I was listening again, you know, kind of doing a reacquaint again today as I kind of finished up my notes, and I noticed it exactly in the same place that I noticed it the first time. And that's about three tracks in, they do just a roll, and it's like, whoa, oh boy.
Yeah.
Oh boy there.
Yeah. So it's heavy music in the 90s, which means the guitars are going down and the snares are going up, 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 up.
Most famously, Saint Anger, which was a little bit after this. I feel like Saint Anger was a little bit ringier than this. This is just very kind of snappy. But
for it to ring, there would have to be a resonant quality to any of the drums on the record, and there isn't, so it can't ring.
Nope.
They sound dead as shit. This, and the guy who produced this produced like all the Dillinger Escape Plan records and like a bunch of post-hardcore bands. So he's capable of. He's capable of making things I like. I don't know how much is his fault. Like, it's not like the band walks in and you're like, tune them drums down. You know?
Right.
Yeah. And of course, this is metalcore. It's the first of the noteworthy portmanteau cores. It's the original core added to a genre to make it a new genre.
It sits for me somewhat equidistant between the rhythms of Pantera with all of the solos stripped away, and you know. And instead of doing, you know, different things and different types of songs, they have a format and they're sticking to it. I have listened closely, and I am fairly certain that every one of these 14 tracks could be classified as in the key of C, dropped C in this case for the guitar players. It's very, a lot of one finger power chords, a lot of, I'm sure that drum beat has a name. I don't know what it is offhand. Yeah.
That's called D beat.
Okay.
It's named after Discharge. Holy shit. Now we got to leave in that boring shit I said about jamming words together because. There was a big trend of D-beat bands name themselves something that had diss in it. Well, this is true. This is absolutely true. So here's the thing. There's not a lot of hardcore, like fast hardcore on this record by volume, right? It's not, most parts of the songs are just like metal songs or breakdowns. So the first of my grand observations is that what Hatebreed figured out is that you can make the whole song out of the breakdown, right?
Yes.
You can do the half speed thing most of the time. And sometimes they just start there. So the album is mostly breakdowns. And I think the thing that it reminds me the most of is it's like how Fall Out Boy was like, well, we're just going to make the whole song out of the like half speed pop punk bridge. And it's fucking brilliant for like two songs, but it's like making the whole fucking cake out of icing. It loses, you know, it really loses its charm by the third or fourth bite. So, which is why there's two good Fall Out Boy songs.
One thing I noticed about, them in doing, you know, what research I did do is that there are only two consistent members. There's vocalist Jamie Josta and bassist Chris Beatty. And I've not been able to find a lot of information on the actual songwriting credits, but it doesn't surprise me. I would not be surprised to learn that the bassist was kind of the musical driving force, because there are two guitarists in this band and you only need a half of a guitarist, because everything is just dun, 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 dun. It's just fast moving power chord, one finger movement.
Yeah. You could, from a riff perspective, you could improvise almost this entire record.
Oh, absolutely.
Exactly the same results. Like, there's nothing at all memorable about any of these riffs. Okay, so you're looking up members. Hey, did you catch up on the bio of our friend, the first Hatebreed drummer?
Oh, God, no, I did not.
I'll say that the real tragedy is that he wasn't indicted for felony murder just a couple of years earlier, because then he wouldn't have been in on this Hatebreed record.
I did see that, yes. But I didn't.
He got exonerated. Not exonerated. I think his conviction was vacated, and he was getting a new trial. But seems like he did it. Should I do a brief explanation of what felony murder is?
Yes. Yeah. It's Law Review Corner with Brett O'Neill.
Yo, I can't believe they got the PE in court before the judge on some nonsense. I got the S1s ready. Chuck Flame, what's up?
Yeah, so anyway, felony murder is when you commit an inherently dangerous crime and someone dies through the course of that crime. Now, the interesting thing about felony murder is you don't have to have any specific intent to kill anyone. You have to have the specific intent to commit the dangerous felony, but you don't have to intend to kill someone in the course of that felony. For example, the classic example is go into a bank, you've got a gun, you hold up the bank, the gun goes off, somebody dies. That's felony murder, my friend. You shouldn't be carrying a gun into a bank. But here's the bananas part. If the security guard or a cop shoots one of your co-conspirators in the bank,
also felony murder.
Oh yeah. So they got Johnny Law's got it coming and going. In this day and age, you got a band called Hatebreed. You're singing about how there's an unknown other that's holding them and their friends down, and it's
lots of thems, lots of yous,
preventing them from reaching their potential. And once you do all that, you cannot be going on and on about blood and honor and shit, dude. You got to stow that because of all the other stuff I just said.
Yes.
Yeah. You don't get to use the words blood or honor. You don't get to. And they
I noticed honor in particular. And yes, very, very much a cringe, like, moment.
And it's on some level, doesn't it feel kind of like a Trump thing? Like, is that, I mean,
oh yes.
They're still cashing them checks, They are not a white power band. We should be really, really clear about that. But we don't have a ton of sympathy if they get mistaken for a white power band.
You can't have hate and breed and honor. If you got all three of those, you're gonna raise some eyebrows. When they get to, and I mentioned Pantera earlier, when they get into a groove and do kind of a groove metal thing, that's when they work the most for me.
Yeah.
But that's that's very few and far between, on this record.
They're, I mean, grand observation number two, they're not a very good band. And I think it's mainly that the drummer stinks. His felony murdering ass. He's not very good. It's like the guitarists aren't doing anything cool or impressive, right? They're definitely not, but it would be kind of hard to sound cool or impressive with a drummer who stinks. Like,
yes,
it's, you know, the whole band, when they like slow down or go into breakdowns, it kind of feels to me like the whole band is like doing that thing where they're like looking at each other, trying to synchronize.
Right.
The next downbeat. And it just doesn't fucking work. The drummer, he's got kind of no real feel, and he can't really carry these grooves, and it never sounds particularly tight. And it seems like it was like, you know, we've both had experiences where like the first time you learn some technique on an instrument and you're like, oh, that's badass. But if you like recorded it and listened to it 6 months later and be like, oh man, I sucked at that. Uh-huh. That's what this double kick sounds like to me. Is it's like, it feels like a punk band was like, check this out, guys. I got a double kick pedal. And they were like, yes. Oh my fucking God, let's record tomorrow.
Well, and you know, you mentioned that you could have improvised this. There are 14 songs on this record, and I have, you know, at least something written down for all of them, but
I did not fucking bother.
and that's okay, because I couldn't tell, you know, 12 out of these 14 songs apart.
And that's the other thing about, like, that's one of the main ways they're like a hardcore band, is all their songs are a minute and 40 seconds long, and they have like two parts, and it's just one part and then the next part. And like, the record's really short. There are a lot of songs on it, but at the end, it just feels like one long blur. Like, that's kind of how some hardcore albums I like feel to me, is it's like, ooh, what a blast. Like Out of Step, the Minor Threat record. First of all, just take it at our word and without us having to say it, that every band we mention is a like, take Hatebreed's name out of your mouth if you're going to talk about this much better band.
Yes.
That applies for Slipknot, that applies for Pantera. Out of Step, you listen to the whole thing and it's like, man, that was a fucking great 14 minute song. It just, the whole thing blows you away. And that, I think, is what they're trying to do here. It just doesn't work because there's nothing vital about it. Like, those Minor Threat records sound like they're going to explode.
Yes. And that's what I was hoping for coming in to this was, you know, I saw that very short runtime. It's just over 26 minutes. Minor Threat looks like it's at 22 minutes. And kind of for some contemporary context, Weezer's Green Album is 28 minutes. So there's, you know, they're not alone in putting out a exceptionally short record, but
and sucking.
You know, there are other short albums that can work, you know, in this genre. You mentioned the Minor Threat, but I feel like you have to have something to distinguish yourself if you're going to do that.
You can stop the sentence. You have to have something distinguishing about you or your band or the songs. You'll be good.
Lyrics.
All right, let's talk about the fucking lyrics. I have a fair few notes, and then we'll get into our special segment, which I'm especially excited about. all right, so grand observation, I guess number three now. Refused is better at doing slogans in English than Hatebreed is, and they're from Sweden. Like, Hatebreed's lyrics, They're not memorable and they have no discernible rhythm, but other than that, they're pretty good.
Okay. Well, I was looking up. You're spot on there. There's really a smorgasbord to choose from, but the one that I will remember the most, I believe, is where it just nothing could be further from the truth.
Oh, we'll get some examples here in a minute. Okay, there's three basic song subject templates on this record. There's religion is bad. And I think this is the best version of the Hatebreed song on this record.
Yes.
They're the only remotely interesting songs. After religion is bad, we've got life is unfair and bad. Which is a little like the religion one in that it's more specific. It's somehow more specific than where we're going to get. But hey, look, it's about something. And then we've got there's something holding the singer down and singer's going to overcome that thing. And that I'm not abstracting it. That's what most of the songs are about. There's something and it's bad and you're against it. And you're gonna overcome it. Blah.
I thought back to Brett O'Neill, lyric consultant. They've got lots of pronoun.
God, it's I'd never be done. I'm not taking this fucking consultant job. No. They're absolutely making me work off the clock. Fuck
this
that.
Is a no bid.
Yeah, no, thank you. So yeah, I always say like specificity is a critical part of making worthwhile lyrics. But I also always say that with lyrics in heavy music, you want to be careful what you wish for, right? Like, oh, you want specificity, huh? Well, here's a song called Conceived Through an Act of Violence, which is wherein the word conceived is used literally, and it's about what you think it is. So, like... Yeah, so it goes from being like, this thing is bad, to they'll use the word rape out of nowhere, and it's like, hey,
whoa, hey, guys.
You use that word more than Bikini Kill does. You can't be doing that. Also, you know, for some guys who are all about perseverance, they sure fucking piss and moan a lot, don't they?
Well, this is our show, and I get to call him like I see him. I know this kind of guy.
Yeah. Where they're like all about how tough they are, but every single thing that happens to them is a catastrophe.
Fuck it. Man, it's fucking bullshit, man. I wasn't doing nothing, man. She's such a fucking man. We know these guys.
Yeah.
And I
like bands who piss and moan. I piss and moan myself, you know, it piss and moan or don't, but don't tell me about how tough you are. You're like, man, it's like, how does he have this many relationships? It's not like every woman he's ever met, he's got a song about.
Excuse me. Well, you know, if you're going to get to that big 26 minute mark, and all of your songs are a minute and 45 seconds, You're gonna be scraping for content, perhaps.
Uh huh. So I think it may be time to go to our special segment. Which I'm calling, it's not very clever, but I'm calling it Hatebreed Lyric or Not a Hatebreed Lyric.
Dun, 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 dun.
So I have assembled 10 random snippets. Some portion that is roughly 50-50 are actual Hatebreed lyrics, and the rest are not. Some of these are lyrics I took from other places. Some of these are things I made up whole cloth. And the rest are Hatebreed lyrics, and it's roughly 50-50. I say roughly 50-50 because I made a good faith effort to keep it in that ballpark, but I didn't want it to get down to the end, and you know the answer to the other nine, and like Matt can add to 10. So that's what I was trying to avoid. All right. Are you ready? And I'm going to need answers in the form of Hatebreed lyric or not a Hatebreed lyric.
Okay. I am ready.
All right. Up first. Conditioned to feel nothing, we turn our backs on all these crimes. Cries fall on deaf ears, and the killing continues.
Hatebreed lyric.
That is correct. Number two. Begin to persevere. The screams under assault. Never conceal my fuel, my hatred.
This one's tougher. I'm going to say not a Hatebreed lyric.
Ooh, that's correct. That is a fake lyric I made up.
Conceal is what gave it away for me.
Yeah, God damn it. I used two syllables. I liked under assault, my fuel, my hatred. Because it doesn't mean anything. All right. Number three, Matt is 2 for 2.
Okay.
And what can I... tell you, my brother, my killer, what can I possibly say? I guess that I miss you. I guess I forgive you. Now I'm glad you stood in my way.
That is far too rhythmic to be a Hatebreed lyric. I'm going to say not a Hatebreed lyric.
Correct. That is Leonard Cohen's famous Blue Raincoat. So notably, did you notice a difference between the first two things, which were roughly equivalent in quality, even though one was a joke I made up? All right. Number three, living as we rot, showered with shadows of dreams devoured, our souls descend into endless seas of sin.
I think I'm going to say Hatebreed lyric.
Ah, God damn it. Yes. Fuck. All right. You're 4 for 4. All right. I'm with you in Rockland, where you bang on the catatonic piano. The soul is innocent and immortal. It should never die ungodly in an armed madhouse.
Not a Hatebreed lyric. Is that an At the Drive-In lyric?
No, that is Howl by Allen Ginsberg.
Ah, okay.
Number three. Number six. You are 5 for 5. All right. No matter how far you go, those days are right behind the facade of your perfect life.
Not a Hatebreed lyric.
Oh, got you. That's a Hatebreed lyric. Yes. All right.
Do you have what track that is from?
Didn't write it down. Didn't bother.
It really does not matter.
It stinks. All right. Number 7. But the only difference is I got the balls to say it in front of y'all, and I don't gotta be false or sugarcoated at all.
Not a Hatebreed lyric.
That's correct. That's from the real Slim Shady. All right. Number 8. What is false is not inside of me. You'll never shake the sting of regret.
That's got to be a Hatebreed lyric.
That is a fake Hatebreed lyric. Yes. All right. I feel so vindicated that we got a wrong Hatebreed and a wrong not Hatebreed. So in my mind, I've won.
Oh yes. No, mission accomplished with this segment.
All right. And last on the list for all the marbles. In a dying world filled with enslavement and endless apathy, a tortured past and not much future, a tattered earth remains. Destitute and alone in madness.
I have not been counting, so I'm going to say Hatebreed lyric.
That is correct. That is actually a fucking Hatebreed lyric, and it's atrocious. Thanks for playing Hatebreed lyric. or not a hate breed lyric.
Whether you like to admit it, I just shit it better than 90% of you rappers out can.
So I did a little bit of investigation of my own and had a, you know, got a generated list of the most used words in the record. And I'm not going to spoil the game, but I can tell you that the very first word that is not a, you know, a preposition, you know, we've got lots of I, me, you, yours, we, will, etc. Very first word is number 31 is fight. You got to get into the 40s to get anywhere anywhere near what we were looking for. I'll give 41 to 50 here. Because fight was 31, but everything else was one, have, it, life is up there. 41, now, we got time, never, die, into, more, world, myself, and then my two favorites with 13 uses each, blood and pain.
So. Yeah, myself, blood, and pain all packed right together. Yep. That about sums it up.
So I think it's safe to say that we weren't particularly enamored with this record. Had you heard, I know that you were aware of, had you heard any other Hatebreed?
No, I listened forward to some and it's certainly better.
Okay.
It's like they got a better drum. The problem is they sound how all like metal drums sound now. They're just like super compressed and dead, but like there's a little bit of tone to it, but very, very contained. And it's kind of like snappy.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's better. It's better produced. There's more body to the guitars for sure. We didn't talk about what the guitars sound like, which is not very good. Yeah. Just like buzzy and like, this is what it sounds like when the guitarists are like, but if we also have low end, it'll be heavier. No, it won't. It'll sound like shit. Please stop that.
I can think of two or three instances on this entire record where there was a guitar note other than chugging along with the power chords. One of them was the intro to Worlds Apart, the penultimate track. You'd swear you were listening to the intro to Better Man. It's kind of that whiny feedback, but literally everything else is just chugga chugga chugga.
I would have killed for Better Man. in the middle of the, that'd be great. They're like, don't call me daughter.
I am ride or die for Better Man. I mean, Pearl Jam is you know, has its ups and downs to be sure, but I really like Better Man. But
like jangly Pearl Jam is a good deal of fun. Like a wah-haw, like angry Pearl Jam is not a whole lot of fun. Or like super slow ballad Pearl Jam is not a lot of fun.
Indeed. I've often talked about where people fall on the
take Hatebreed themselves to Madonna spectrum.
On the take yourself seriously and make serious music axes, and kind of what we were talking about before, I think these are guys who think that they feel that they are making serious music, but I don't think that they themselves take themselves seriously. But I bet if you call them on that, what I'm saying is I don't feel like there's a lot of sense of humor here, and I could be wrong. I've not I've not caught any interviews. I do know that lead singer Joey Josta has
Jamie
a podcast.
Josta.
Oh, excuse me, Jamie Josta. I was
sounds
pining
so much like a reggae singer. It throws me the fuck off every time.
Did you see that his real name is James Sheridan? So
I didn't. I didn't want to. I heard the things he had to say, and I was like, "Oh, this is the least interesting person I've ever heard."
I don't
so no,
need
thank
to.
You.
Yes, James Sheridan, aka Jamie Josta, has his own podcast. I know some Vinnie Paul was on it. Speaking of Pantera, it could either be surprisingly good or it could be exactly as bad as you think it would. And I, you know, there are only so many hours that we are given in this life, and I think I'm going to pass on the Jamie Josta podcast. But you know,
yeah, man. I mean, you know what I always say is, in a dying world filled with enslavement and endless apathy. I mean, we could almost make a game out of, like, remember anything specific about one of the songs. Like, I remember the part that's like, "Bastard cries! I'm on fire!" Whatever he says. That's the one that's got "Fatherless Creation."
That would, of course, be Puritan.
Yeah, Puritan. I kind of remember, and the one right before Puritan is the one. You know what I'm talking about? On YouTube, it was the one that in the playlist would play a live recording.
There's an actual video. Yes, that would be before Dishonor.
What do you mean those 14 words? I mean, Jesus Christ, guys, chill.
One of the vibes that I got from this was that they wanted to make it for the soundtrack to like a Zack Snyder movie. The overlap of fans of the movie 300 and Hatebreed fans, that's a significant intersection there. There, you know, it's very much, you know, toughness posturing that,
What do you mean posturing? His hat has a short little bill on it. he's a big, strong man. tap out, dude. Do what his shirt says. Just tap out.
Just tap out.
I'm on fire. I don't think that's real. I could never really discern what he was saying. And again, Slipknot rule. If you can't tell, you don't want to know.
I did have one memorable song other than Burn the Lies. I'm hesitant to say that this record is front loaded, but I do think that it's front loaded because I would say my favorite song is the opener, Empty Promises, because it's the most groove metal of any of these. Save yourself.
Damn it. It's not I'm on fire. It's Feeds the Fire. So not even really close. The burning desire to rob human life. See, so like again, Feeds the Fire, the burning desire. It's like, okay. It's like to rob human life. It's like, it's a fucking Parks and Rec joke. It's like, no, stop the rap when it rhymes. I'm sorry. Salvation so bittersweet, the taste brought fear to our tongues. Ew. Ew. You got fear on your tongue. Ew.
Oh. Do we have anything else really to say? Not really.
Like all I can't even tell you if Hatebreed's good or not. Right. Like this is their first record. Their drummer stinks. The songwriting is rudimentary, but like, yeah. Okay. Like a lot of people start there. Maybe they got real good and they got a good drummer. I very much doubt that this singer developed any sense of like meter, because I don't see any evidence of it at all. It can't even do the like just chant on the downbeats, man. He's like not it's pick three words and say them over and over again. Like this is why people do that, because you don't have that much stuff to say. Again, you use like the world, my heart, the world. My heart, that's better.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, put it this way. The word cloud makes better lyrics than the actual lyric sheets do. I would rather hand him the word cloud and just say like, no, pick the beats and just say one of these words. Pick any of them in any order. Say any of these words, but do it on a beat. And like, you can even do you can throw in you don't have to just do the down, just the quarter notes, my friend. But if you have to start someplace, start there.
I love an anda. Even if we dip into Hatebreed, that is not, their debut. I feel safe in saying that, you know, we probably won't be returning to Satisfaction is the Death of Desire.
I was so hopeful from that. That's how I ended the last episode. I was like, ooh, I like this album title. Maybe that's something.
Yeah.
It's the cleverest goddamn thing on the whole record. I can see why they made it the album title, but they should also put it in the lyrics. That's a like that's really good. But I was thinking more about it, and I think what he means is like, you can't be satisfied, man. You gotta keep pushing. Or else you're not really alive, man.
You're standing still. You're going nowhere.
Exactly. And I interpreted it as if I annihilate my desires, I will finally achieve tranquility and satisfaction.
Yeah,
that's how I took it. On a scale of Buddha to Jamie Josta, more of a Buddha.
I would agree. Well,
hey, I thought of a question we could start asking at the end of these, which is, okay. Hey, is there anything, every once in a while, not every episode, but hey, is there anything we've done on the show that you've returned to, even though you didn't have to, since we did the episode?
Oh, Iowa for sure.
Yeah. But that one's my obvious one. I return to Iowa fairly often. Otherwise, so if I hadn't like really worn myself out on Madonna would be on the list, because I go back to Madonna probably about once a year.
And I had dipped into Madonna before the show. Yeah. So.
And honestly, I threw some Phil Collins and some Tears for Fears on a party mix a couple weeks back. So
it's good. When they're good, it's good.
Yeah, it was, and it was what you'd think. I put Take Me Home, Inside Out, which is a good, it's background. People are like, huh? And Susudio.
One thing that I had returned to, not the whole record, but I did listen to, is it Big Love from Techno?
Big Fun.
Big Fun, yes. Yeah. I've gotten back to that rips. Also. Yeah.
So,
boy, I wish any of those songs were on this record.
It would be a weird touch.
But if I had to select a song for the metal shop, it'd probably be Pantera, because I did listen to some Pantera, some Vulgar Display of Power, to to kind of compare and contrast with what I was hearing with Hatebreed.
It's a lot better, huh?
Well, yeah, it is. And for one thing, they have, I was really surprised when I got to This Love, which is a very surprise. It's very acoustic and kind of ballady, you know, very much a departure. And I don't know if they had similar songs on Cowboys from Hell or any of those other, you know, Great Southern Trendkill albums, but it was fun. It was neat. I'd never actually gotten all the way through Vulgar Display of Power. So I've been digging on that as well.
We're getting fucking assassinated by some Pantera fans. It's like, you got a podcast, you talk about Pantera sometimes, huh? What kind of things do you do? Oh, we compare them to Hatebreed and Slipknot.
No way, punk.
Walk on home, boy.
Walk on home, boy.
As I've said before, the first three tracks on Vulgar Display of Power are so good that I never really got past those three songs. It's like, keep coming back, like, again, Mouth for War, again. And Pantera's like the one band where, like, if you stripped out the solos, I'd be mad. Like, Dimebag solos are different. It's like Tom Morello, but with like doing it with classic guitar techniques.
Yeah, well, it's a vulgar display of virtuosity, to borrow a phrase, but it's used as a component of the song. It's not the whole thing that you might get with some of your other shredders.
Matt Strang out for the part of David Frick's editor in 1991. Vulgar display of virtuosity. David Frick's like, yeah, that's fine. Hey, are you 46? Because we should not know who David Frick is, but we do. David Frick is one of those people sometimes if I'm listening to like rough cuts of the podcast, I'll play him like with Sarah and she'll catch things too. But every once in a while I'll ask her like, do you get that reference? She's like, oh fuck no. So there's lots of like, oh,
nice,
I think
little barometer.
I mentioned Lester Bangs in another episode. It was like, you know who Lester Bangs is, right?
Are you talking to me?
We're coming to the end of our show here. We're gonna lead Hatebreed in the garage where they belong. Do we want to talk about what we want to do next?
Oh shit! Sure, but give me a second. Because I am unprepared for every single part of the podcast every single time.
Having or coming off of a metal record, we need to kind of mellow out a little bit, but perhaps not with 80s drums.
Yeah, let's not do 80s drums at all.
So no Tango in the Night then.
Do you want to do Brain Salad Surgery, the Emerson, Lake and Palmer album?
Yeah, we haven't done classic rock in quite some time, but yeah, next time on the Tune Change podcast, tune in for Brain Salad Surgery by Emerson, Lake and Palmer. We do thank you, gentle listener, wherever you may or may not find yourself. Hopefully, not in the garage with Hatebreed. But wait,
what does it mean for us to welcome people wherever they may not find themselves?
Oh, you know, the spirit plane, perhaps.
I very specifically do not welcome you
from the spirit plane to the spirit plane.
Yikes.
Brett taking a hard stance on all apparitions, which is fair. Join us next time for brain salad surgery. Until then, for Brett, I am Matt. Don't forget to listen to music
from the spirit world.
If you want to listen to some music you're not sure you'll like, go to directory.bandcamp.com. That's where I put music that I make, and if you like beeps and boops and occasional guitar chugs, you might like it. Directory.bandcamp.com.
All I'm saying is that it would be a very different proposition to start a band called Hate Breed.
You wouldn't do that.
you can't even start a band called Hate Breed where we talk about honor and stuff anymore.
It's like, well, it's just about how we've got to preserve our dignity.